conversation is coming up. We just heard from Cat Stevens, Miles from Nowhere, and Fleetwood Mac did The Change. Garden Conversation is underwritten by the bookstore, selling new and used books, cards, and art supplies on Main Street, Haines, from 11 to 5, Tuesday through Saturday. You can reach them at 766-3356 and online at HaynesBookstore.com. Going to be hearing from Mardell. She's over in Skagway. And this garden conversation was recorded in July, so it may seem like it's a bit out of step with our current conditions, but here we go anyway. Here's Mardell in Skagway.
Good morning. This is Mardell Gunn with the Garden Conversation, and today we are in Skagway again. And I'm at a very cool place. I love it when I go to a restaurant and the food is from a garden that is close by, because I know that it's going to taste good then. So, and we are at one of those places. The Alaska House. It's a new name. I think I can say the old name, Olivia's Bistro,
right?
Okay. And I'm talking with Eric Strathy. Oh, my goodness. I can't remember that. Anyway, Eric Strathy, who is not only the cook, but you're also the gardener, kind of. And we're going to talk to the other gardener, but you're doing both, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
Yep.
And so you are a gardener from before you came to Skagway, it sounds like.
Yes, that's true.
Yeah. In Minnesota and in California,
yep.
A bunch of different places.
Mm-hmm.
So what was your motivation to, you were a chef,
mm-hmm.
and then the gardening piece came in after that, right?
That's right, yeah. Gardening's always fascinated me. It's always been part of my life growing up. Grandparents had a big garden. My parents had a garden. Mm-hmm. I learned to garden in Minnesota. But my friend bought a pretty big farm out in California and called me out to help him open it up and run some crops out there. And I learned everything kind of backwards, where he had me doing some large-scale gardening, organic gardening outdoors. And
mm-hmm.
I was applying all sorts of techniques, amendments, and advanced techniques that I knew nothing of. And actually, through COVID, I decided to take on the studies of soil chemistry, a little bit of plant biology, and get some credentials online.
Mm-hmm.
And I ended up learning through those programs what I was doing all the years before.
Wow. And you realized, oh, this is why this works, or
that's
why this
right.
doesn't work. Yeah.
Yeah, it's all connected. So being a chef, of course, vegetable gardening is my passion.
So when did the chef part come in? Before the gardening?
Yes.
Or not before. You said that you grew up with
gardening. I grew up with the influence of it. And then after being a chef, you start to realize a lot of the notable restaurants and a lot of the knowledgeable chefs have a high knowledge of vegetable gardening.
Mm-hmm.
They like to know where their food comes from, understand the source, nutrient value, and all of that becomes very important when you want to push yourself to the next level
mm-hmm.
in the culinary arts. So
mm-hmm.
I had a passion for it, so I took that on as an understudy.
And I've always, you know, people come to my house and they say the food tastes good, and I say, well, it's because it just came out of the garden. And the food you grow in a small, intensive way has a whole lot more taste than the stuff you go to the grocery store and buy in general.
That's right.
So,
yeah, and I think the more you learn about the soil that you're growing in, personally,
mm-hmm.
I'm a soil grower.
Yeah.
There's kind of a couple classes, hydroponic growers, soil growers. I like to stick with growing in organic, preferably no-till living soils,
mm-hmm.
if you can get to that point. It takes a little bit of time to get there, but understanding the nutritional value of that soil in turn goes hand in hand with the product that you're growing. So,
and letting the microbes, we were talking about microbes a little bit, and that's kind of what gives the nutrients to the plant.
That's right. Understanding that if you can inoculate the rhizosphere, if you can inoculate the root tips, you're going to understand that some fungal networks will inoculate, the microbes will help with the nutrient uptake and ultimately provide more nutrient for
mm-hmm.
the plant. So,
and they'll ultimately taste better.
And that's right,
yeah.
Taste better. So I grow my soil first,
mm-hmm.
and then my plants get to pick and choose what they want to eat from that big Vegas buffet instead
mm-hmm.
of just feeding them what you think they might need that day out of a bottle,
mm-hmm.
Which is also, you know, it does work to feed.
And it can help if you've got a problem plant or something like that.
That's absolutely. Yeah.
But I think I would agree with you that the basis of having good soil is really the crux of,
that's right.
of getting your best crops. So tell me about some of the things that you've had to learn in being a chef in a restaurant, and how is that different than going, you've got your own garden mm-hmm. that I assume at home, you
yeah.
cook your own things. How is it different working in a chef situation and figuring out what you're going to grow, how to grow it, that anything that you can
yeah.
talk about with that?
You know, picking your crops, obviously, to reflect the menu that you're building is important. You want to obviously have some higher yielding crops if you can. But to get creative as a chef, that's kind of our number one goal, is stay creative and to stretch food along with is an important technique of being a chef. So understanding the plant that you're growing, understanding the different parts of the plant that are edible. It's not just about the fruit that's produced. If you had an herb that did bolt on you, or a vegetable that starts to bolt on you, understand that all the fronds that come off of that are edible. The flowers are most likely edible. They're great for garnishes. So even understanding if you have a problematic situation in your garden, you can use those for garnishes on the plate mm-hmm. as well. Mm-hmm. But so understanding how to utilize the whole plant is important to bring it a long ways. But if I do take broccoli and I grow broccoli, I might want to cut them a little bit younger so that they're more applicable to a dish for the size of what
you're
growing.
Than waiting for the big head.
That's right. That's right. Mm-hmm. And what most people don't understand, or a lot of people don't understand, is a lot of baby vegetables. They're just literally baby vegetables. They're not a different variety.
Yeah,
so you cut
right.
them
they're
young.
Just baby carrots are baby carrots.
That's right. Succession gardening is very important. Mm-hmm. Undersowing is very important. Meaning if you plant some seeds for lettuce, 2 weeks later, you might want to plant right behind it. And
right.
2 weeks later, plant again. So then when you cut that first round down, you can always have another crop behind
right,
it.
Right, which is pretty important with a restaurant, because you've got a menu. If
That's
you've
right.
got lettuce on the menu, you got to make sure that you've got lettuce mm-hmm. available all the time.
And so. The other thing, too, just one last thing, is maybe grow crops that you can work into your menu versus having as a staple. Because then you can cut in different varieties into dishes mm-hmm. and still be, you know, from field to fork, so mm-hmm. to speak.
We've been talking about that herbs, so that fits into that category, that you can always utilize herbs, you know, and put them in whatever dish you're doing, whatever herbs are available. And so what herbs are you using predominantly here that you can, the ones that you're growing?
Yeah, well, herbs are quite generous, so they'll keep giving back to you. So if you manage them properly, anyways, what we grow here, we grow mint, rosemary, thyme, sage, cilantro, parsley and basil, mm-hmm. dill as well. So we got quite a few going, but our staples are, we keep cutting the dill and the cilantro and the basil back, and it just keeps coming.
Keeps coming. That's a nice thing about herbs. And I must say, for the listening audience, they have probably heard me say, you cannot grow basil outside here. And Eric just proved me wrong. I just went and looked at this. Now, I am in Skagway, so maybe it's a little different, but I just went and looked at this tub, and it was full of basil, and it's being windblown, and it looked beautiful. There was no yellow leaves, which is what I usually find with basil that is stressed. So, so I don't know. Skagway's got something about it that it can grow basil. And you're also growing tomatoes outdoors.
That's
which
right.
Is, but I don't see any red tomatoes on there yet.
Not yet.
But there are tomatoes, right?
Yeah. You know, I took that on as a challenge. Everybody said you can't grow them outdoors. So I started those in February from seed indoor.
Uh-huh.
Had them very resilient by the time I planted them. And as you can see, we've got them supported pretty well in this stiff wind that we have now. I'd say the wind is pretty much the biggest hindrance this year, but the swing in temperatures obviously have an effect on the fruit. So,
but this heat that we've had has been very nice for tomatoes and peppers and that sort of thing. You know, one thing I also wanted to talk about is we're looking out at this very organized, neat-looking little garden in front of us with amazing beds. Were you part of choosing these beds, and what are they? They're really very nice.
Yeah. They are. They're metal, corrugated metal beds. They're powder coated. Mm-hmm. So they have a powder coat paint on the outside. They're module. So when they come, they're a bunch of sheets of metal with some corner pieces. So when you put
curved
them together,
corner
curved corner pieces. So you can take the different panels and make different sizes out of them. I think they're 6-in-1 and 10-in-1 modules. So, yeah, they do come in a number of panels. You can set them up how you'd like, given your space. And the nice thing about them is they're not going to break down over time.
I know. You don't have to replace them every 8 to 10 years. If you use wood, which is what most of us do here, you have to replace them. And these are very, for the sort of person who likes to have a very tidy, neat-looking garden, which, of course, in tourism, you want to have that, these are really a nice bed. I would recommend anybody come down and look at them and see if it works. Tell me the name of them.
They're called Vego is the brand, V-E-G-O.
V-E-G-O.
I'm sure there's a few brands out there. They're very nice. They come in a 36-inch high version.
Yeah, there's some that are high and there's some that are low.
Yeah, no, linear or cubic feet goes into, or linear foot goes into cubic foot, square footage goes into cubic foot pretty quick, and then the volume gets away from you. So as you know, it gets kind of expensive to fill some of these beds.
Yeah.
So we did a Hugel mound halfway up this. So we took some older decaying wood and filled it up halfway with that, and then amended the soils
and then dirt
above
on
that.
Top.
Yeah, exactly.
And that works really well. We've talked about that quite a bit on the Garden Conversation. That that is when you hear where we have to create all of our own soil. Oh my goodness, to fill one of these beds, it would it would take a long time. So yeah, cool. Okay, well, I'm going to switch over to the other gardener because I understand you've got help here.
That's right.
Any other things that last minute things that you want to say about being a chef of a restaurant that has a garden outside of its kitchen?
Keep it simple. Keep it simple.
Yeah.
It should be a simple application with simple food, and let the food do its thing. And that's why we should all have a garden on our property.
It's true. We should have it on our property. But I'm really, I love the fact that a restaurant is doing it. I believe that every restaurant should have this as much as possible, too. So it's one thing to grow for yourself, but to be able to do it as a business, I'm really happy to see that and like to encourage it elsewhere.
Great.
So keep on doing it.
Well, thank you very much.
I look forward to eating some of it later. So.
I look forward to cooking for you.
Okay, great. Okay, thanks, Eric. And now I'm going to get the other gardener in. So the other gardener that is working in this garden is Ben McDonald. And you're fairly new to Skagway, aren't you?
I am. Just early June came in.
And you are a master gardener, so
yes.
you've gardened where?
In Northern California, the Bay Area, to be specific, Contra Costa County. Down there, and in most states, the master gardener program's broken up by county. Mm-hmm. In Hawaii, kind of funny, that's by island, but that's mostly because those biomes are more similar. It makes more sense to organize the master gardener program that way.
So it's quite a difference between California and Skagway, I would think, with gardening.
Oh, yeah. Night and day.
Yeah. And so tell me what just a few of those differences are. What have you learned?
Sure. So things are growing here really, really well. But again, everything here is what I would consider a winter crop where I come from, or a spring and fall crop. The kind of heat required for, you know, your typical things like tomatoes and cucumbers and peppers is a little hard to find out here consistently throughout the
consistently.
Summer.
Consistently, yep, exactly.
So, you know, the excess sunlight, the temperatures are really ideal for those spring and fall and overwintering.
And, of course, you're limited to, you're growing what the restaurant can use, which is a whole nother factor. I just saw some lettuce that you had just harvested. So how does this work? Does the chef say, hey, I need this? Or do you say, do you go to the chef and say, you know, I've got lettuce, I've got parsley or whatever?
So there were a few crops that were here before, but essentially it was coming in, looking at the menu, figuring out not only what would grow here well, but also what could the chefs use. So, you know, there's little pieces of broccoli or like little broccoli florets that are helpful. Again, the herbs and lettuces are always something that can be used. It's really kind of a balance of thinking what's going to grow well here. And then what will they be able to supplement with in the menu? Because, again, they kind of have to build a menu around a a much more rigid set of guidelines. They have a set menu, so it's really what can we grow to supplement that and add a little bit of freshness and homegrown to each plate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, cool. All right. Well, our time is up in talking about the Alaska House Restaurant gardening. So thank you. Thanks for coming up and gardening here in Skagway and up in Southeast Alaska and being part of what I think is a really exciting, cool thing of growing food for a restaurant.
Oh, no, this has been a great experience, and thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, you're welcome. All right. Bye-bye, and happy gardening, everyone.
All right. Thank you so much. That's Mardell over. She was broadcasting from Skagway, pre-recorded. It was recorded in July. So anyway, it's 9 o'clock and you are tuned to your community radio station, KHNS Haines, Clukwan, and Skagway. Time for the community calendar, which is supported in part by Canal Marine and Auto at 704 Union Street. Outboard marine, steel equipment, auto repair, and tire swap, mount and balance. Open 9 to 5:30 Monday through Friday. You can reach them at 766-2437. On this Thursday, October 20th, happy birthdays go out to Carlos Jimenez. Tommy Consler and Mike Ackerman. And happy anniversary to Wayne and BG Perry. Today in Haines and Clukwan, there's intermediate Tai Chi at 9:30 at the Chilkat Center. Strength and Stretch, 10 a.m. at the Chilkat Center. The Haines Sheldon Museum is open from 10 until 4. Public Library will be open from 10 until 7. Tykes and Trikes is at 10:15 in the elementary school gym. There's Tai Chi for seniors at 11 a.m. in the Chilkat Center. And the Haines Public Library board meeting will be at 5 p.m. over Zoom. Tomorrow in Haines, the pool opens with a lap swim at 6 a.m. and aqua aerobics at 8:30. There's a flu vaccine drive-through clinic starting at 9 a.m. behind the search clinic. Advanced Tai Chi is at 9:30 at the Chilkat Center. The Haines Sheldon Museum opens at 10 o'clock. The library will be open at 10 o'clock with a story time at 11. And Haines Senior Center meal delivery, you call 766-2383 if you want that delicious meal delivered right to your door. And today in Skagway, the Rec Center is open until 8:30 tonight. There'll be senior fitness at 10:30, pickleball for adults at 1 p.m., family pickleball at 5 p.m., spinning at 5:45, and restorative yoga for all levels at 6:15, and then basketball at 7. After school programs, early dismissal day is from 2:30 until 4:30 on today. Skagway Visitor Advisory Board will meet at 10 a.m. in the AB Hall.